If you have your Bibles, the main passage we're going to be in is in John. And it's going to take us a little bit before we get there, but I can tell you now that you can turn there. It's in John chapter 7. As we're going to look at just a couple verses, and that's going to be the bulk of where we look. But before we get there, I want to be open and honest about my intention by the end of this sermon. This is something that we don't do very often. We haven't done it for a while. I would love to see us start moving into more of these opportunities, especially as we utilize this prayer room and then just seeking God together. But I'm going to be honest from the beginning. By the end of this sermon, we will have a moment during the closing song for anyone that wants to respond to how God is moving in their life. Okay? So whether you want to call that an altar call or whatever you want to call it, we're going to have a moment where we're going to give opportunity that if God is stirring in your heart to go further and deeper with him, if he's stirring in your heart to accept him for the very first time, we're going to have that moment at the end of the service. And I'm telling you now so we can prepare ourselves. Okay? So we can prepare ourselves for that and actually seek what God desires from us today. And so this is what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask before we begin for us to just take the next 15, 20 seconds. And I would ask you to pray just a simple prayer based on what we just got done singing. Are you willing to pray to God to say, Lord, you're welcome here. I'm listening. I'm ready. Like, whatever you want to do today, I'm here and I'm listening. And positioning ourselves before God to say, God, whatever you desire of me today, Lord, I'm ready. I'm willing to listen. I'm going to ask us just where you're at. This is a prayer between you and God. But let's just prepare our hearts for what he has intended for us this morning. So I'm just going to ask you to take a few moments and pray and offer yourself to the presence of God this morning. Holy Spirit, the truth of the matter is you are already in this place. The presence of God is always with us and around us. Lord, I truly believe that you're always speaking. You're always drawing. You're always presenting yourself. But the question is whether or not we're listening. The question is whether or not we are positioning ourselves to say, Lord, here I am. I am ready to receive that which you desire to give me this day. So, Lord, my prayer for all of us, but Lord, I'm going to pray for myself too, Lord. I am here and I'm ready. Holy Spirit, overwhelm us with your presence today. Overwhelm us with your presence today. Draw us ever deeper into who you are for the glory of Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and Lord. Amen. God proclaims through the prophet Isaiah these words, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. All you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. This morning, as we begin diving into the Word of God, I encourage us to hear the invitation that God is proclaiming. The invitation that was all the way back then and is still the invitation today. We just got done proclaiming, you are the same God. The same God that cried out to his people, come all who are thirsty, is the same God today that speaks to us and says, come, all who are thirsty. This morning, I want us to start with this understanding that every single person here, every single person that exists, no matter how young or how old, male or female, it does not matter, rich or poor, it does not matter, every human being has a spiritual thirst. People are thirsty. Within every single one of us is a strong desire, a necessity for something, but truly for someone that is beyond ourselves. This exists within every human being. Scripture actually speaks of God implanting or setting within the heart of every person eternity. The word declares that God has set within the heart of every person eternity. Meaning at the core of every person, there is a God-given awareness that there is something more than this life. It doesn't matter to me if a person comes and says, I don't believe in life after death. I don't believe in anything like that. I don't believe in God. I stand upon what the God of the universe says, and the God of the universe says, I have planted in the heart of every human being eternity, which means every human being has a desire, a thirst for something, truly someone beyond this world. It's that thirst that there is more to this life than what we are currently experiencing and what we currently see. Every human being has this thirst. Scripture talks about this thirst. In Psalms 42, it says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs and pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Psalms 63 says this, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Psalms 143, verse 6. I spread out my hand to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. These verses are not just speaking about a believer who now has this thirst for God. No, this is a thirst that exists within every person. It's just the psalmist has come to understand where the satisfaction for this thirst comes from. I have a thirst. And the only place that thirst is satisfied is in you, oh my God. In Isaiah chapter 41, the prophet said this, the afflicted and needy are seeking water. Let's stop for a moment, church. That's all of us, is it not? We are all afflicted and we are all needy. We are all broken. We are all part of this fallen world. And the scriptures say that the afflicted and the needy are seeking water because there's a thirst. But there is none. And their tongue is parched with thirst. And I love what God says, I, the Lord, will answer them myself. As the God of Israel, I will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights and springs in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land fountains of water. We all have a thirst. And the only way to quench that thirst is through God. And God declares that He will answer our thirst. that he will step in and provide for the thirst that this world cannot fulfill. But I'm starting with talking about this thirst because as all of us have this thirst, as the world around us and every human being has this thirst, we have to acknowledge that most people, instead of turning to God, who is the one that satisfies that thirst, we as fallen creatures seem to turn to everything else other than him. Our world, our very community, our community right now that surrounds us is full of thirsty people. But instead of seeking the living water of Jesus, there are people who are foolishly attempting to quench their thirst through everything but Jesus. We can see this played out all the time around us. And some of this is even going to hit home to us because we're going to talk a little bit this morning about how even as followers of Jesus that understand that he is the living water, we still have to accept the temptation that we fall into many times to try to quench our thirst in everything but Jesus. See, when we think about the world and you think about the way we see people live in this world, I want you to start seeing the choices that are being made by many, and even especially as we think about those of younger generations, and how they are attempting to find a thirst quencher from things that will never satisfy. This is why we see the world chasing after things like worldly pleasures. We see people desiring fame and power and influence and status. We demand respect. We want money and success. We see people chasing after sexual desires and drugs and alcohol and false philosophies and false religion and false beliefs. Even within the church, we see this. And it's all an attempt. Without realizing it, we're trying to quench a thirst that can only be quenched by God. This is why I truly believe we see so much happening in our world today when you see so many people struggling with identity issues. And we see people struggling with sexuality issues. Transgenderism, gender identity, the question of who am I? Is all an attempt to answer the question, how do I quench this thirst? I desperately want to quench this thirst, so I'm going to chase after this thing. And eventually I'm going to find out that it didn't quench it. So then I'll chase after this thing. And then I'll find out eventually it didn't quench it. So I'll chase after the next thing because there's always the promise that it's the next thing that's going to quench this thirst. To bring the fullness and fulfillment of life that makes everything make sense, that satisfies me, and the restlessness that I feel within. And even our own American dream tempts us to chase after all the things to try to quench this thirst. And I've said this before, but we have to understand it. We have to separate the understanding. I love our country, but our country promises life, liberty, freedom, and happiness, right? We have that right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But I'm telling us this morning, listen, the American dream does not satisfy the thirst because only Jesus is the life and freedom and happiness. While we can live in this beautiful context of a country that he has blessed us with, it is still not the answer to the thirst. Only Jesus is the giver of life. Only Jesus is the one that brings real freedom. And only Jesus is the one that gives us joy, everlasting joy. We're seeing this growing in our world today where there's this growing intensity, and it's been around for a long time. This isn't new, but we're seeing it more and more in front of us, this belief that our thirst, this spiritual thirst, this desire, this thing that needs to be quenched inside of us, this belief that we will find that quenching, we will find what will quench our thirst if we could only find and follow our own truth. Look within yourself. Discover your truth. And your truth will put you where you need to be to quench this thirst. One article that I was reading this week that was speaking on this stated it this way, and I'm quoting what they said in the article, and it says this. The author said this: even though the world tries to convince you that it knows what's best for you, constantly telling you where to look for love, for meaning, for happiness, and fulfillment, wanting you to chase a mirage for the rest of your life. When I read that at first, I was like, yes, I'm tracking with you. With the author, I'm like, I'm tracking 100%. You're saying, don't look to the world to quench your thirst. Quit chasing a mirage. We understand what a mirage is, right? You're out in the desert, you're thirsty, you see something like, hey, I need water. There's the mirage. I'm hallucinating. Stop chasing things that are never going to satisfy. I'm tracking with the author until they made that statement, and then they went on to say this. The truth of the matter is that if you stop looking without and start looking within, you will actually eventually discover that all the answers to your questions are within yourself. Within, not without, there's no need for you to spend your entire life chasing a mirage. See, some of us might hear those words and think, that makes total sense. Because this is a false belief, a false philosophy, a false doctrine, a false religion that's being pushed upon our world and upon every single one of us, but especially upon those of the younger generation that tells them, if you want meaning and purpose, don't look outside, just discover your own truth. Just discover what makes sense to you, because all the answers are in here in the first place. And unfortunately, it's being offered as a way to quench that thirst. Stop chasing the mirage. When the truth of the matter is, it's just another mirage. It's just going to lead us, and anybody that follows it, to the same place. Eventually, right back where you started, and that's with the same thirst. Again, I said I agree with the author wholeheartedly when they say, stop wasting your time chasing after the things of the world. Because the only answer to our thirst is Jesus Christ. I share some of this, and I want us to kind of understand this, because I'm hoping that as Christians we can start maybe seeing the world around us through maybe a little bit different of a lens. Because some of us, when you think about some of the beliefs that are being proclaimed and some of the ideas that are being pushed by the world agenda of sin and drawing us away from God, sometimes as Christians, it causes us to become angry and frustrated and even hateful towards those that are out there. But can we as Christians at least accept this truth? People are chasing after these things because they're thirsty. And their hearts have been deceived, and they've been blinded, and they're just longing to satisfy a thirst. It might change our way we look at view one another when we see the ways that people choose to live if we start understanding that they're just thirsty, and they've been deceived in chasing after something that will not satisfy. God warned us of this. God in his word warned us about this thirst, and he warned us about how as human beings we will chase after the wrong things. In Jeremiah chapter 2 verses 13, God says something towards the people of Israel, but it's still true of all of us today. And he says this, he says, my people have committed two sins. they have forsaken me, the living water, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. So let's understand what God is saying here. So that we're all on the same page, a cistern, if you're not sure what that is, it's a receptacle that is built. It's a hole that is dug, either in hard clay or in rock, but it's a man-made container that would be built. And once they would dig this cistern, they would take plaster, a hardening plaster, and they would go in and they would coat the entire inside of the cistern with this plaster because they were preparing it to collect rainwater. The whole point of its existence was to collect water so that when the moment came of needing water to quench their thirst, a physical thirst, they would have water collected in this cistern that they have built, or a series of them that they had built. Now notice what God is saying here. God is saying first, he's telling us people are thirsty. Because he wouldn't be talking about living water if there wasn't a need for us to have living water. He's telling us that people are thirsty and we have a need to quench it. But he goes on to tell us these are the two mistakes. First, people reject him as the only answer for their thirst. This is what was happening in Israel. People were thirsty. They had a spiritual thirst and they were rejecting the living water, which is God himself. And this is what we see in the world today. But he goes on and God says, it's not just that they have rejected me. He's saying people are giving their time, their energy, and their resources. They're sacrificing their very lives to pursue something that will never satisfy their thirst by building these worthless cisterns. He's not talking about physical ones that they're building. He's talking about the spiritual ones, the things that people chase after in this world to try to quench their spiritual thirst that can only be quenched by God. And we fall into the same trap today. Even all of us in this room will have moments that we will chase after something, hoping that it will satisfy our thirst that is not God. And I'm here to tell us something that's extremely important. When we do chase after those other things besides God, we will have moments where we assume our thirst has actually been quenched. And we will go through seasons where it makes sense. Like, I figured it out. But eventually, it's the same thing with these people with these cisterns. Rain would be coming, and they're sitting back going, we figured it out. We're collecting the water. The water's going to be there when we need it. It's all going to be collected for us. We didn't need God. We didn't need what he had for us. We didn't need to follow what he wanted. We're collecting it ourselves. We're satisfied. But the problem is that when we go to draw from the water that we think will satisfy other than God, we will discover when it is needed the most that it was in a broken cistern and there's no water there to satisfy. Proverbs tells us this in Proverbs 14. There is a path, there is a way, there is a life before every person that seems right. But the truth of the matter, it ends in death. So I go over all of this because I want us to get to this moment of, what's our hope then? What's the hope for our thirst? And that's when we come to John chapter 7. So if you're in John chapter 7, we're going to look at verse 34, or 37 through 39. So not a huge passage of scripture, but that's what we're going to look at today. If you don't have your Bibles, you can grab one in the pew if there's one, or in the chairs. Hopefully there's one in front of you. If not, I do have it on the screen. But it says this, on the last day and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. But up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So let's understand the setting of what's happening here. The Bible is telling us that the last day of the feast, so this is a specific period of time, this is actually taking place during the Feast of Tabernacles. So this is one of the feasts that God put before his people that they were mandated to follow, that they were mandated to take part in. This is one of the three, considered one of the three great feasts. And meaning the great feast is because it had an additional requirement to it. The Feast of Tabernacles was actually a feast that would take place every fall. And every male in Israel was required to come to the temple during the feast. So this wasn't a feast that took place at home. This was a feast where every male, and I would assume they would bring their families, were required to come to the temple. And what they were called to do was, when they would come to the temple, when they would come to Jerusalem, they would then make themselves a temporary shelter. So basically, it was like a big camp meeting, right? Because they would make temporary shelters for themselves. And then they were called to stay within those temporary shelters during the feast. So in throughout the entirety of the feast, which lasted 8 days, they were required to stay within these shelters. And this was done as a reminder for them of when they wandered in the wilderness and they stayed and God saved them from Egypt and God rescued them. And then they wandered in the wilderness before Israel entered into the promised land. So for those 40 years, they lived in these temporary shelters. So this was meant to be a yearly reminder of the time that they spent in the wilderness. But now there's some significance here. Because part of this celebration, this feast, there were three main things that they were focusing on during this feast. These were the three things that Israel was focusing on as they worshiped and celebrated during these days. First, they were giving gratitude and worship to God for his provision from the current harvest. So this feast would always happen immediately after harvest. So the fall harvest is done, and this was the feast that they were required to attend right after the harvest. So they were gathering together to give praise to God for his provision. Thank you, God, for once again providing for us through this harvest. The second thing that they were doing during this feast was they were worshiping God because of his provision while they were in the wilderness. They were remembering and acknowledging and giving praise to God, saying, hey, remember when he took care of us? For 40 years, he took care of us. He provided. He provided food. He provided water. In fact, if you go back and you read the times they were in the wilderness, there's these beautiful stories of God actually splitting the rock in two and bringing forth living water. And that's what they're remembering, is remember when God provided the water that we needed, and he provided for us. The third thing they were doing during this time is they're declaring and they're worshiping God's future provision through his Messiah. At this feast, they're remembering promises from the Old Testament where God is promising through the reign of the Messiah that he would pour out rivers of living water into the land. So at this feast, they're providing God's provision that was happening right then. They were celebrating and worshiping God for the provision of the past, and they were looking forward to the provision of the future. Now, part of the celebration was every day of the festival, the priest would take a golden pitcher and they would dip it into one of the pools, one of the blessed sacred pools in Jerusalem, and they would take that pitcher and they would put it down into the pool, and they would carry the pitcher through the city to the temple, and they would pour out the water at the altar the symbolism of the God who poured himself out to us in the wilderness. The God who poured out living water for us to have this crop and this harvest. The God that one day will pour out living water when his Messiah comes. This is the context of what's happening. When the Bible tells us that they get to the last day, the greatest day of the feast, this is what they've been doing for the last week, is remembering the provision of God and the pouring out of water and his love for his people. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Jesus stands up and declares, if anybody's thirsty, you come drink of me. For I am the living water. As we think about this, I want us to just take a moment and imagine something, just for a moment, because sometimes when we read scripture, we can get so much in a hurry that we're not picturing what's happening here. John is very clear to tell us that he spoke with a loud voice, which means Jesus didn't get up and say, hey, you 12 guys that can hear me right here, I need you to come around, I got something to tell you. He didn't even say, hey, you 30 or 40 people that are nearby, come and hear what I got to say. The God of the universe stood up and he declared for everybody to hear him. If you're thirsty, this is where you come. Picture this just for a moment. I mean, I don't know what Jesus' voice sounded like. I don't know what that moment sounded like. But I just kind of picture God behind the scenes, the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Like, my mind is weird. I've told you this before, but I'm picturing like the sound system. He's just like, we're going to crank Jesus up a little bit. Like, he kind of turned up the volume. Because this is what's amazing to me, because picture this again for a moment. This is Jesus, who, as at the Feast of Tabernacles, the people are staying in temporary tabernacles, and here's the God of the universe standing before them in a temporary tabernacle. The God of the universe came in the flesh. He came and made his dwelling place among us. He took on a temporary tabernacle. Jesus took on a temporary body to come and declare the truth of salvation. Here is the entire embodiment of the entire feast standing before them. God in the flesh, the tabernacle, temporary given to him so that he could come and speak the truth and die for our sins and rise from the dead. Here is Jesus declaring, I am the living water. I also think about his voice. Again, this proclamation of his voice. No idea what his voice sounded like, but picture this again. Imagine this. This is the Jesus that can calm a storm with a whisper. This is the Jesus that can command the demons to come out with one word. It's the Jesus that can call out and bring the dead out from the tomb. It's the Jesus that created the entire universe with a simple declaration, let there be. And now he stands there and John is saying with a loud voice, he declares. Can I tell you right now, when Jesus spoke, again, I don't know what his voice sounded like, but I guarantee you, nobody ignored him. Picture the multitudes of crowded people there, and Jesus stands up, and by declaring one thing, the crowd falls silent. Because the God of the universe is declaring truth with a loud voice. And he declares, again, if anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. So we've been on this series of the narrow road. What does it look like to be followers of Jesus? What are the signposts? What can we look at that tells us that we're traveling in the direction that God wants us to travel with our lives? And here, we're actually going to have two that we're going to look at today, but here's the first one. To be on the narrow road to following Jesus, let me ask the question, how thirsty are you for him today? Man, because people that are chasing after Jesus are going to be thirsty for Jesus. When Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, he isn't declaring that some people are and some people aren't. He's declaring, hey, if anybody realizes that they're thirsty, Has anybody acknowledged and recognized their thirst? Has anybody gotten to the place yet where they have seen how all the things in the world that they're chasing after is not quenching their thirst? That's what he's asking of us today. The same invitation is given to us today, and anybody that will hear it, come and drink of the living water of Jesus. But before you can come and drink of the water of Jesus, you must first come to realize that everything else is not quenching your thirst. And we become thirsty for Jesus, which means we crave Jesus. We need Jesus. We desire Jesus. We long for Jesus. We pursue Jesus. I mean, just think about any time you've been thirsty and how there's nothing better than that wonderful, cool drink of water. Reminds me of when we were in Missouri, we lived in a parsonage, so there would be trustees that would come and do work at the church or at the house sometimes. And one day a guy was there with his wife and they were doing some outside work, and it was the summertime and we were outside doing some landscaping, and we're out there and I looked at him as we were working and I said, "Hey, do you want something to drink?" He said, "Yeah, that'd be great. Water would be great." And I started to go inside to get water, and his wife was in healthcare, like she was a nurse. I've never heard this before, but for some reason she was on this kick, and she looks at me and she says, "Yeah, get him a drink, but no ice." And he looks at her, sweat just rolling. And I looked at her like, "Okay." And she's like, "Yes, because it's not good for him. He's so hot right now. He doesn't need to be drinking this really cold water. So just get him regular tap water, no ice." As I'm walking in, I'm like, "She ain't my wife. I'm getting a lot of giving me a bunch of ice." Right? So I took it out and I give it to him, and I'm drinking my nice, cool, you know, and he's drinking his water. And it was funny because after I got done drinking and I took his glass, as he's handing it to me, he said, "Don't listen to her next time." He's like, "You fill that baby up with ice." We understand physical thirst. But man, as followers of Jesus, where's your thirst at today for the living Jesus? Just craving after him. Jesus, you're the only one that satisfies. You're the only one that quenches this craving in me. Lord, I need you. I'm pursuing you. See, what we have to understand this morning is all of us are tempted on a daily basis. And all of us are guilty of this. I know I am guilty of this many, many, many times. We recognize our thirst. But we can still fall into the temptation of trying to quench that thirst from other sources other than Jesus. When I was thinking about this, it reminded me back of the days of, remember Gatorade, the thirst quencher? Listen, I've drank a lot of Gatorade in my life. It ain't never quenched my thirst. But that's what the world offers, right? Chase after this because it's the real thirst quencher. And let me just express to us on what that looks like. And this is not meant, again, I'm not trying to condemn or bring us to where we should feel hopeless. The purpose of this is to open our eyes to say, if something is keeping me from the thirst-quenching, living water of Jesus, then man, let's identify it, let's get tired of it, and let's reject it. Because Jesus said, "Come to me if you're thirsty." When I was thinking about this, I think it comes down to kind of this, and I want to talk just for a second about priorities versus priority. Priorities versus priority, and what this looks like as a follower of Jesus. I have a lot of priorities in my life. I have a priority to my wife. I have priorities to my children. I have priorities to my position as a pastor. I have priorities as a neighbor, priorities as, you can just list the priorities. We all have priorities. But what I want to challenge us with is this. while we can make a long list of the priorities of life, the things that are important to us, the things that we value, the things that we chase after, the things that we give our time to and our resources and our energy to, all of these things, never, we must never include Jesus in our list of priorities. Listen to what I'm saying. Jesus is not one of many priorities. Jesus is the priority. See, this is where it gets messy for us. Because we include Jesus as, and I'm not doubting any of us when we say this, yes, Jesus is a priority of my life. Jesus is never meant to be a priority. He's meant to be the priority. He cannot be included with a list of other ones, because when he's included with a list of other priorities, then we can fall into the temptation of letting those other priorities become more important to us than Jesus. And when those priorities become more important to us than Jesus, we're attempting to quench our thirst off something that will never quench our thirst. Jesus is the priority. And the beautiful thing about this is my other priorities all make sense when I put Jesus as the main priority. I'm able to be the husband that I'm called to be when Jesus is the priority. I'm able to be the father when Jesus is the priority. I'm able to be the servant that he calls me to be when he is the priority. Because remember what Jesus told us, seek ye first, what? The kingdom of God. That is the priority. But he doesn't leave us there. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things, all these other priorities will be given unto you. But he didn't say the kingdom is one of many priorities. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, here's the part that just gets me, I mean, all of it gets me excited, but this is, I love how Jesus says this. So then notice what Jesus goes on to say. He says, listen, come, if you're thirsty, come and drink from me. Know that I'm the only place of to be satisfied. And then he says something just absolutely amazing. Right? Come and drink, and streams of living water are going to flow from within us. Okay, listen. We might have heard that many times in church. You may have heard this. You may have quoted it. But man, that better get you. That should get us excited. Listen, the God of the universe, the living water, has just told us, come and drink from me, and not only am I going to give you living water, I'm going to make it flow from you. Like, it's going to come from you, from within you. Like, as I pour into you, it's going to pour out of you. How awesome is that? That should make us like, that's what I want. I don't just want my thirst quenched, man. I want to see rivers of living water flowing from my life. And this is the second signpost. Not only are we thirsty for Jesus, but on the narrow road, as we grow closer to him, we are going to be channels. We're going to be conduits of his living water flowing through us. We should see the God of the universe flowing into our lives, but not just into our lives. He should be flowing out of our lives. I want us to picture this from the Old Testament. And you don't have to turn to there, but it's found in Ezekiel 47. This is the image that goes through my head with this. So what I want to try to explain. So in Ezekiel 47, towards the end of the book of Ezekiel, God gives Ezekiel a vision. And the vision is he gives him a measuring rod, and he tells him, he's like, hey, Ezekiel says, I looked and there's a river, a stream starts coming out of the temple. Like this stream is flowing out of the temple. This river of water is coming out of the temple. And he's told, he's like, he waded me into the water. The angel wades him into the water. And he says, measure, how deep is the water? And he measures it. And the first measurement is like, well, it's about ankle deep. So he takes me out further into the river. And he says, measure it. He's like, now it's knee deep. Goes out a little bit further. He measures it. Now it's waist deep. He goes out a little bit further and he measures it. And he's like, how deep is this? It's like, it's too deep. I can't swim. I'm paraphrasing. Like the living water of God is flowing so deep and powerful that I can't even cross it, is what Ezekiel says. And then he makes this statement in Ezekiel 47, or God makes this statement. He says this, where the river flows, everything will live. Do you hear that Jesus is saying, where the river flows, everything will live? And he's declaring that all that drink of him, the river flows from you. That the rivers, the streams of living water will flow from us, and that it will, just as we grow in him, it'll get deeper and deeper and deeper. This is why we strive and we push and we pursue and we take more of Jesus, because the closer we get with Jesus, the bigger the river gets. We're not called to be containers of the living water of Jesus. We're not called to be containers of the living presence of Jesus and the power of Jesus. Christian, if you're here today and you've put your faith in Jesus, you are called and created to be the very vessel that he flows through. The living water of Jesus that he stood up in the temple and declared, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink, will now flow into us and through us to a thirsty world. And the beautiful thing about this is, as God flows through you, as God flows through us, you will constantly have your thirst satisfied. I believe the closer we get with Jesus, the thirstier we'll get. And the thirstier we'll get, God, with a big smile on his face, is like, I'm ready for some more spirit. Pour it out. Lord, I'm more thirsty today than I was yesterday. Great, then I'm going to give you more of that living water than you had yesterday. And that stream is going to get deeper and deeper and deeper. Because as he flows, he fills us and he satisfies us. Because we're not meant to just hold on to it and contain it. We're meant to let him flow out through us. So now we get to the end of this. And here in a second, so you guys can prepare. You don't need to come up yet, but I'll have the praise team come up in a moment. But here's where we get to where, again, I said, respond however God calls you to respond when we have this last song. Because here's the thing I want us to think about is first this. Are you thirsty today? Are you thirsty for Jesus? If maybe you're not, then I encourage you, I hope God's stirring in you to say, man, Lord, make me thirsty, or make me want you. Man, we're not talking church, we're not talking religion, we're not talking any of that stuff, we're not talking anything other than just Jesus. Lord, I want you. All the other stuff comes in our relationship with him. This is just being thirsty for Jesus. Are you thirsty today? But maybe some of us aren't necessarily, we're thirsty, but maybe some of us are sitting here going, okay, I've heard this passage before. I hear you talking about it now. Yeah, there's this talk about living water flowing through me and streams of living water. And you're sitting there going, right now, I've never experienced that. I've never had that. You're talking about this exciting, like the spirit-filled, just driven, like this unbelievable experience with the power of God. And you're sitting there going, I don't have that. So this is why I'm going to say this. And again, you do whatever business you have with God or however he stirs you. The first is this. If you're sitting here today and you're like, I've never experienced this living water flowing through me. I've never experienced this streams of living water. Then I'm going to say this, and I want you to hear it. There's a chance that you've never actually drank from Jesus. I ain't saying that you haven't been in religious circles and you haven't been in church and you haven't thought of truth, but you've drank from everything but Jesus. And that's what the enemy likes to do. He likes us to make us drink from everything but Jesus. We hold on to everything else that should satisfy. I grew up in church. I went to Sunday school. I said a prayer. I got baptized. I got confirmed. My family was religious. Of course, but I still don't experience this living water. Then ask yourself and ask Jesus, just ask him, Lord, have I ever truly drank from you? Because that's the invitation. Come and drink of me. So there's a possibility that some of us have never truly answered the invitation in the first place. Don't worry. the invitation's still open. That's the beauty of Jesus. But there's a second possibility. Some of us maybe have drank from Jesus. Maybe some of us have received and put our faith in Jesus. But I want to tell you the number one thing that's going to get in the way of the Spirit flowing through you is the one thing we don't like to talk about, and that's sin. Anybody ever seen those videos? I've noticed a few of them recently, and they make me laugh every time because they just crack me up. When they're trying to clean out a big pipe on the side of the road and they take a tire and like drag it through it. You ever watch that? Ever seen one of these? It's hilarious to me. I don't know why, because I sit there like an idiot kid, like, ooh, let's see what comes out, you know? I mean, if you need a tire to get that thing unclogged, this is going to be awesome. And when they do it, this massive, just disgusting amount of just stuff just comes. But as soon as it happens, guess what? Water's free flowing. This morning, the reason I want us to take time to actually respond is this. If you're not experiencing the Spirit of God flowing into you and through you, then where you need to start is you need to come to God and you say, God, is there possibly something clogging up the stream? Lord, what is the sin in my life that is clogging up the stream? And that's not for me to tell you what it is. That's for you between you and God to say, God, I want that unclogged because I want to experience the streams of living water. So I'm going to ask the praise team as you guys come up. And I don't want us to get in a hurry. So what I mean by that is simply this. If you're right now, don't be sitting there and going, oh, service is done. Let me pack my stuff up. Let me get ready to take off. I would like us, as we sing this last song, to listen to the invitation. The invitation is, come, all who are thirsty. Remember from the beginning, the invitation was, come, all who are thirsty. So I'm going to offer that this moment to say, if you need to do business with God, however he is stirring in your heart to live out this life that he is offering in himself, then I encourage you to do it. The front is open. The altar is open. I get it. Some of us might say, well, I don't like the whole idea of an altar call. I don't like it. I don't need to do that in front of people. Notice what God's first word was. Come. There's something powerful about stepping out and saying, Jesus, you're worth it. Jesus, you're worth it. So as they close in this last song, I just offer, do whatever business that God is calling you to do with him, but are you thirsty today? And are you experiencing the streams of living water? Because that's what he's offering to anybody that will come and drink.